Take two. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Star Wars Report podcast. I'm your host for this evening, Riley Blant, and this is episode 110. Welcome. Come in, make yourself comfortable. Feel at home here at the Star Wars Report podcast. We're going to have fun discussing all the latest news and rumors for Star Wars Episode 7, and here to help me do that, it's my co-host, Mr. Mark Herleman.
110 episodes. You know, 110 episodes ago, you used to say the Bothan Report a lot.
I did. I'll tell you what. You know what, Mark? It's funny because I was, I don't even remember why. I was going through Sarlacc Pit episode archives, and there was a time, I haven't heard from them lately, but there was a time where I was on several in a row back towards the beginning of that fine podcast, and that was early in my podcasting career because I clicked play on one, and I realized in the show notes it said Riley Blanton from the Bothan Report. And I thought, ah, that's funny. And it's funny because in some ways I don't sound at all different, and then in many ways I do sound very different now.
You're like, listen to that rookie.
You know, the world of Star Wars fandom and podcasting and personally changes a lot over at 110 episodes, I'll tell you what.
110 epic, glorious Star Wars filled episodes.
Exactly. So how have you been, man?
I have been pretty good. Got my phone kind of squared away. It's charging again. So that was scary. You know, being out of technology when you're leaning on it as heavily as I've been. I mean, my phone's been pretty much my access to all the interwebs. So it's like, when it goes down, I panic.
Oh, yeah, I guess so. I saw like tweets about it. What happened?
Well, but I dropped it the other day and the screen had cracked, but at around the same time it stopped charging. And so I wasn't sure if it was because it had dropped or not. And then I was trying it on different chargers and it's just not working. And then also my wife started doing the same thing and we took it down to the place and it turned out there was just some dust in both of them. Mine though is broken, but it needs just one charger and I have one of four that are different that will charge with it.
Huh.
That one's working, so they're like, just keep using that one and be very gentle with it. So if I like move it at all, it doesn't charge. So it drives me up a wall. But then yesterday, we go to make a phone call, and everything's like, doo-doo-doo, if you want to make a call, you need to go out and buy a credit card or something like this. And my wife's like, what's going on? So she gets on my phone, and she asks, same thing. So she goes down there. They just canceled our phone service just on a whim. Like, everything's all paid up and everything. They just canceled it.
We don't want your money anymore. I'll tell you, but I guess you try to plug it in, and you were all like, "You should know the difference between a computer terminal and a power socket." There it is, power socket cube.
Yes. Well, and the thing is like I'm using all the apps, so like I didn't even know for like 2 days the phone had been not working. Nobody ever calls me on the phone, and I don't use it but to call my wife.
It's true. Like so nobody
I didn't
ever
have any clue. I've been just tweeting away and stuff. Nothing changed on my end.
Well, I know it's like nobody ever uses smartphones to make phone calls anymore. It seems it's all like texting and stuff. And like if you're at home on your Wi-Fi, yeah, you wouldn't even know it.
I was watching the American Reunion. The American Pie movies, and there's a moment where Stifler's like talking about how their car broke down and they need to make a phone call, and the dad's like, three of you, not one of you has a cell phone? And they're all like, way to go. And he's like, well, when I did this last, they didn't have cell phones.
I'll tell you what, it's a crazy world we live in. It's funny because like this technology, and this is actually somewhat relevant to Episode 7 news and rumors, just because the landscape, as now a year into like serious Episode 7 speculation. In fact, what is today? Monday. Tomorrow, as we record, we're recording here on Monday, October 28th. And tomorrow is like the exact 1 year anniversary, the 29th. Now, technically, it was the 30th last year, but tomorrow's a Tuesday. And I remember it happened on a Tuesday. I will never forget. Let me tell you, kids, it happened on a Tuesday. You don't know what it's like. Back in the day, when Episode 7 was announced, so I count tomorrow, or technically Wednesday. Irregardless, it's One year into this, and man, the realm of Star Wars podcasting, well, I would just scratch that, podcasting, the realm of Star Wars speculation is so different than it was for the prequels. Now, I wasn't even around for the prequels, but it's interesting, having done nearly a year's worth of podcasting leading up to the Episode 7 announcement, I kind of would hear all these stories about what the fan community was like when they were making the prequels and how hyped everyone was and how everyone was trying to get every delicious drop of information. So I actually feel like I have a good sense of what it was like, even though I wasn't there to live through it. And now that we're in the middle of this Episode 7 speculation, man, it's just ridiculous how social media has changed the way the fan community interacts. And I really like it in many ways, but in many ways also there are some downsides.
Have you seen the edit disc, I think it's called? I guess it was a abandoned technology back in 1984 they were trying to use. And so they have Return of the Jedi, all these deleted blooper scenes.
Yes, I've been seeing this pop up. Yeah, it's like a laser disc.
They're coming up on Facebook, and it's somebody shared it. Now there's a whole page for it.
Yeah,
and it's like, wow, this is kind of cool. I mean, it's basically what I think it's scene 50, the one where Yoda does the old "look so old do I to you," you know, and there's just a bunch of different versions of it. But it's interesting. I'm like, oh wow, this is cool. It just kind of surfaced up out of nowhere. I'm like, huh? Social media, God bless you.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and I love that because a guy purchased it on, from what I read, and I didn't read the articles fully, but I did see a bunch of these pop through my Feedly. And I saw a lot of folks talking about it because, yeah, they've got scenes from, I believe, they're all Return of the Jedi, if I remember. No, because there was a blooper reel from A New Hope. So there's all these great, great, never-before-seen scenes, and they were on this laser disc, evidently, and this guy purchased it on eBay for like $600 and was generous enough to decide to start sharing these clips online. So he started digitizing them, and he created a Facebook page. And I'm killing myself because I don't remember the name of the page, and it's bothering me. Do you remember what it was called, Mark, by any chance?
I think it's called Edit Disc. It's something about Star Wars Edit Disc or something like that. I just literally... Well, here, let me bring it up.
I'm looking at it on Facebook. Good Lord, 19,000 likes already.
Because
he's been releasing... I mean, he's really smart about it. He's been releasing it, like, bit by bit. But yeah, here we go. On the About page on this Facebook page, it's Historic Star Wars-Related Artifact, 30 Minutes of Return of the Jedi Footage on a Long-Lost Edit Droid Laser Disc, appropriately named. And so, essentially, it's the now-dead pre-Avid Final Cut Pro computerized editing system that was developed by Lucasfilm, which quaintly and wackily used multiple laser discs to queue up edits in an ill-conceived, overly complex, bug-ridden system. So it's basically like an editing software system that they were using. And so this guy evidently purchased it, and he's releasing it. Now you can go to facebook.com/ROTJ Edit Droid, as in Return of the Jedi, ROTJ Edit Droid. And yeah, like people are excited about this, and it's great to see the fan excitement. And he's uploading the video to Facebook, and like it's getting bajillions of shares, and folks are commenting. There's an alternate take on not Luke's death scene, Yoda's death scene in Return of the Jedi. And I did watch that, and that was pretty cool. Just to kind of see, you hear the set audio, and you hear like things about these clips that just, you know, I would never have imagined we'd see, except on an official release.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, it's also cool because it gives you the behind-the-scene aspect of it. You know, you're watching, you're listening to Oz. He doesn't quite sound like the Yoda you know and love.
No.
You know? And, I mean, that was what I thought was the coolest. It was like, you could watch him set the puppet version of Yoda, get it all ready. They'd be speaking the dialogue back and forth, you know, and it wasn't, I don't even think it was Hamill that was speaking Hamill's lines at that time. It was someone else, you know, I mean, it was like, I don't even think Hamill was there that day for some of those scenes. That's kind of cool. I'm just like, man, that's fun.
I'll tell you what, I'm tempted. I'm going to tempt fate for a moment here and hit play on one of these videos just to play a brief clip. Here we go. Yeah, you can hear that set audio.
That face you make. Look, I so bad to your eyes.
No, of course not.
I do. Yes, I do. Sick have I become. Old and weak. When 900 years old you reach, look as good you will not. Hmm?
Wow.
soon will I rest.
And soon light must fall. And this is all from Luke's perspective. So instead of the camera angled at Yoda, you could see Luke here. It's funny. What did he say? Weak have I become, or instead of old have I become, or something like that? Slightly altered dialogue,
which I found that was interesting. I'm like, oh, weak, huh? Because I mean, I just never empowered him.
Old. Yes, he kind of has a weird. It's not really Yoda.
You know, he just kind of has that stuff. I think that's a better impression of the weird Yoda than my actual Yoda impression, which is more like the actual Yoda impression has to go kind of deeper. It's like,
yes, yes, yes,
like that. Have I ever done that on the show?
A couple times.
Okay, I want to say I'm trying to just remember if I ever did that. Well, I have now. So there it is. I mean, that that wasn't even planned in the show notes, but that's a great way to start the show, just to say that there's still stuff out there. I mean, probably tons of stuff unreleased out there that I still hope that someday we get that super ultra premium. I don't care how much it costs, but that just for the absolute hardcore Star Wars fan, the everything Blu-ray. Or it probably won't even be a Blu-ray by the time that this comes out, but like a digital library that you could download, you know, something like that. That would be so cool. Or like an online website that's private that you just pay for access to, and it's like a monthly fee or a one-time fee, and it's like the ultimate database for everything Star Wars. And all the material and all the films and stuff. That would be cool. And I don't think it's going to happen anytime super soon. But, you know, someday I hope something like that does come out.
Someday I hope it's out there. I do too.
Exactly.
You know, that's the amazing thing is how fast technology has advanced, you know. And people are complaining about Episode 7 going back away from digital. Oh, we're not going the right direction with technology. I don't know. I'm curious to see what it's going to look like. I mean, you mix a little of the old with the new, and sometimes you get something even newer.
I think, yeah, and the combination of those technologies can certainly be something good. Speaking of Episode 7, I think it's time to move into some Star Wars news. Guess what? There is official word. It's not true till you see it on StarWars.com. I swear if I read that. I swear if I read that one more time, I'm going to kill myself. We know it's not true until you hear it on StarWars.com, but darn it, we'll speculate anyway. Because that's it's an addiction, folks. But it's true. We have actual, concrete, official news from StarWars.com. And in fact, I'm going to read straight from the source. Straight from the Force's mouth.
Ooh.
See what I did there, Mark? Force's mouth.
Powerful in the Force are you.
Master filmmaking team announced for Star Wars Episode 7. The date on this is October 24th, a mere 4 days ago. And let's just pick this apart because there's a lot of great information. I'm just going to read the opening paragraph and give you guys the bulleted points. And then Mark and I shall discuss these precious words given in an official capacity on StarWars.com. So here we go. As Episode 7 continues pre-production, Lawrence Kasdan and director J.J. Abrams have assumed screenwriting duties for the film. Kasdan, who has been serving as a consultant on the film, is a veteran of several classic Lucasfilm projects, writing the screenplay for Raiders of the Lost Ark, as well as co-screenwriter for The Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. Acclaimed director and screenwriter, Abrams' credits include Super 8, Mission Impossible 3, Fringe, and Lost. They forgot to mention, what's the show on right now? What is that show? It's on NBC, and it's the post-apocalyptic.
Revolution.
Thank you. I figured that might be the kind of thing that you'd watch, Mark.
I do.
Yeah, it's a great show. But that's a J.J. Abrams production as well. He was a producer on that. But this is a quote straight from Kathleen Kennedy. She says, "I'm very excited about the story that we have in place and thrilled to have Larry and J.J. working on the script. There are few people who fundamentally understand the way Star Wars stories work, like Larry, and there's nothing it is nothing short of incredible to have him even more deeply involved in its return to the big screen." She also compliments J.J. Abrams, and she also compliments Michael Arndt for bringing them to this point where they are so far. But it's a thank you. We've got it from here. We're good. We good. We all good up in this Lucasfilm house. So basically, but that's not it. I'm gonna finish up the high points. So that then they announced a bunch more of the team are officially announced. Ben Burtt returning as a sound designer. Dan Mendel, the director of photography. He's worked with J.J. Abrams before. There a couple other names. Rick Carter and Darren Guilford for as production designers. Michael Kaplan as a costume designer. And let's see. The other... Oh, and Matt Wood is also confirmed. And Matt Wood is actually the supervising sound editor. And ILM's Roger Guyatt to supervise visual effects. And they've added two executive producers. How many executive producers can they have? But Tommy Harper and Jason McClatton.
It's like the old Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. You know, there's always room for one more.
Yeah, but like Darren Guilford, he's production designer Rick Carter. He did Lincoln for Spielberg. He did Avatar, Forrest Gump. I mean, some really top-notch talent. To give you guys some perspective, Darren Guilford, Oblivion, Tron Legacy. Costume designer Michael Kaplan has worked with Abrams on Mission Impossible, Ghost Protocol, as well as Star Trek Into Darkness, and as a fun kind of side note, Fight Club. So there you go. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you have guys who worked on The Dark Knight Rises, Skyfall, WALL-E, of course, you know, Lincoln. These are absolute top Hollywood talent. So they are sparing no expense. And it's, you know, it's pretty interesting. It's so good to have something official and so much stuff to talk about, so much juice. But what was your initial impression of all this news?
I've just been wondering what it's all going to mean. I mean, I think back to, I believe it was a show West 2008. There was an interview where Lucas was asked, they go, do you think you'd have other people continue the Star Wars saga past episode 6 or turn some other materials into films? And Lucas responded, there's no story past episode 6. There's just no story. There's a certain story about Anakin Skywalker, and once Anakin Skywalker dies, that's kind of the end of the story. There's no story about Luke Skywalker, I mean, apart from the books. But so I'm curious what this story is going to be, what the treatments were, what Arndt did.
And well, the question
Abrams
is
now writing it too, so that's an interesting side too. It's like, have we had many directors, producers, and writers all in one that wasn't George himself? Like, it's all very interesting. It's just adding to the mystery of, you know, in hindsight, this is going to be awesome to talk about again, you know, because once we've seen the films, we're able to critique what they've done and everything. But right now, it's just all, you know, there's no final product to judge it off of. So all we can do is just scratch our heads going, wonder what this is going to look like. I'm excited.
Well, you know what, Mark? All we can do is shamelessly speculate, which is exactly what we will do. But well, and the big question here, and I'm gonna do a shameless plug here. I actually blogged about this on StarWarsReport.com, which is that's me coming out of a blogging hiatus for a while because school has kept me so busy. But I had a free moment when the news was announced, so I got it up that evening. And you guys can read my thoughts on all of this at StarWarsReport.com/Kasdan. Remember, Kasdan's with two A's, K-A-S-D-A-N. So StarWarsReport.com/Kasdan, and that's where you can read my thoughts. And like I started the post with, I'm nervous and happy. Nerpy, Havis, you know, it's kind of because my initial impression, and I may be wrong, but my impression by that is that they wouldn't. It seems to me that Abrams would if he wants to be the primary screenwriter along with Kasdan, it's a rewrite. I don't think it's that because it's coupled with in the press release they say their target is to start filming in spring 2000. Spring 2014. Yeah, that's next year, right? Yeah, 2014. So it seems to me that on Jedi News, I want to say, it was on Jedi News that I was hearing, the stuff I was hearing, of course not official, was that filming was going to start in January. And originally there were some rumors that it was going to start this fall, but those were quickly debunked. So if that were true, it seems that this potential delay in filming might be the result of J.J. Abrams and Lawrence Kasdan wanting to overhaul the script. Now, that's all, again, pure speculation at this point, but I think that would be the credible assumption at this point.
Well, one of the other things that made me start assuming was that even Arndt had wrote up his own treatments to turn in to get the job to be the screenwriter. So it's curious.
That's true.
Like, okay, what are these treatments? I mean, Lucas gave treatments. Arndt's given treatments. Now, obviously, you know, JJ's putting his treatment all over. I mean, I'm just curious. I want to know. I want more details. I mean, that's the thing with it. It just drives me up a wall. I got to know more. You know, one other thing I think of, you know, when I go back to that Lucas article, the interview, when they asked him that question is, what if we get Force users, but we get no Jedi? I mean, what if this whole story just, you know, the closest we get to Jedi is like a rival faction group, or, you know, maybe not even a faction, but like maybe it's the Rangers, you know, or we're in a section of space where the Rangers are the ones that are the Force users that we see as an active presence, that there aren't really very many Jedi over in that section of space. And so that these are the Force users that are really the dominant presence. I mean, there's so many different angles you could go with this. I mean, you know, I know one of the rumors we have here is something about Harrison Ford, but I mean, there's still the possibility that they might not even be in it, but more than just, oh, look, pause the screen in this one shot, that third monitor screen on the left, there's Han Solo. He's talking to Leia on a conference call on Skype. I mean, something like that.
Well, I could, you know, I could see that. And you know what? I think that's a possibility, but there are more rumors about Harrison Ford. But before we jump into those rumors. Let's see if we can grab a Steve Star Wars minute. Come on, Steve.
Come on, Big Glosson.
Hello.
Mr. Glosson?
Yeah.
So evidently there's been some hubbub about Star Wars this past week.
One more time.
Oh, I just said, hey, apparently there's been a little bit of a hubbub about Star Wars stuff this week.
Just a little bit.
So we're here in 1 minute. To get your thoughts on the news that Arndt is out, Kasdan's in. Go.
Hi, this is Steve Glosson from Geek Out Loud. You can find the podcast at geekoutpodcast.com. Proud member of the Shotglass Digital radio family at shotglassdigital.com. Michael Arndt is out. J.J. Abrams and Kasdan now working exclusively on the script for Star Wars Episode 7. I don't know what this portends. Maybe Arndt was getting a little too emotional. Maybe he's wanting to kill off everybody. Maybe he's wanting to send him down into a fiery void, a la the toys in Toy Story. I get choked up just thinking about it. But the point is this. Kasdan is a Star Wars alum, and, you know, he was there. He was there back in the day. So you got to trust him. Steve out.
There he is.
I get choked up thinking about it.
Oh, spoiler alert, by the way.
Bomb taken.
I dare you to watch it not cry.
10 seconds remaining.
Well said, sir. You know what? I could go for that. I think that's a reasonable assumption. I think that Arndt... Have you seen Little Miss Sunshine, by the way, Mark?
No, actually, I haven't.
It is a very emotional character-based film. It's interesting because I get the idea that he may have had a good outline, but the execution was not what they wanted. So I think that, like, thematically, if I had to just venture a guess, that Lucas's treatments survive and morph into Arndt's treatments, which will survive and morph into the final product that Kasdan and that Kasdan and J.J. Abrams put forth in the screenwriting process. And I think that's a safe assumption. And you know what? The other small thing about this is. The rumors this week, I'm going to pull it up right here on the old, let's see if I have the link. Yeah, here it is on the force.net.
Before you go ahead. To another rumor though, I had something I wanted you to think about here. Okay. With JJ taking over in this regard, you know, and a lot of people are worried about, look what JJ's done to Star Trek. And I'm not, I have no problem with what JJ's done to Star Trek. I'm going to throw that out there right now, but I want to say, okay. The big complaint with Into Darkness is, all these elements of old Star Trek movies were all thrown in here, and that's just wrong, you know. And some people really hated that, but I'm noticing with Rebels and with a lot of things right now that everyone is pushing for the Ralph McQuarrie treatment.
Sure,
you know those concepts. So like if we make it Ralph McQuarrie, then it's Star Wars, and everybody's excited about that. Oh, hey, they're bringing Ralph back, and then Arndt came in. Oh, we got Arndt. Now we've got these new guys
now
in here.
Now we've got Kasdan.
I believe Kasdan's famous for being one of the few guys to ever be able to tell Lucas no, and get away with it in a storytelling aspect.
Well, and he didn't even always
excited
get in
about
it.
That too.
Well, but, like you with the making of books that came out recently, you read about those story conference meetings between Kasdan and Lee Brackett and Lucas, where they're talking about, they're hashing out the plots of these films. And yeah, it was a very collaborative process. And in fact, Kasdan was wanting, he agreed with Harrison Ford that Han Solo needed to be sacrificed in Return of the Jedi. Lucas ultimately shot that down and he wanted him to survive. But I'll tell you what, reminds me of a certain additional rumor here from the Force.net rumor. Harrison Ford has signed on for a multi-film deal, including Episode 7. So this is from Jedi News, ever talkative, anonymous Jedi Master SQL. He said that the rumor is that Harrison Ford has signed on to Star Wars Episode 7 and additional Star Wars films after several, quote, outstanding points in the contract negotiations fell into place. So here's the quote. Ford wanted to see a synopsis for his character's development over more than just Episode 7, and also the source claims that he saw this in August and was happy with the story part, and he also claimed that part of this multi-point deal with Ford was that Ford wanted them to get a treatment and get Indiana Jones 5 up off the ground. Evidently, old Harrison Ford, all gung-ho for the old Indiana Jones. Maybe not so much for Star Wars, but like that deal's coming in place, and the fact that Lawrence Kasdan agreed with him way back in the day, this is their chance. There ain't no Lucas to stop them now. If they want their way to Han Solo's glorious death, they have the path to do it. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised. Of course, if it's a multi-part film, that probably wouldn't happen. If it's a multi-film deal, that probably obviously won't happen in Episode 7. But, you know, I would not be opposed to that. And I've said that from the beginning. I would not be opposed to any of the main characters' deaths in the forthcoming trilogy.
Mm-hmm. No, I would be okay with that. I just keep thinking about the aspect of, you know, there's two sides of, well, more than just two, but there's two sides in this case of the way I'm thinking of, you know, I want new stuff. And yet, then there's the other side of, well, anything that we can bring in from the original stuff is cool. And so, like, you know, you get the Ralph McQuarrie type treatments and all this kind of stuff. You get Harrison Ford back. That's all great. But what, are we going to see another thing where, you know, like with Star Trek Into Darkness, where they're complaining, oh, we got too much of, there's way too much I knows, and I got a bad feeling about this, and all these classic lines that popped up in the old trilogies, and
yeah, like
I don't know. I mean, it's like, it's, where is that line for some of us? I mean, you know, some of us enjoy it and some of us don't, and you know, the marketing seems to be, well, we're gonna reinvent everything anyway, we want to make it fresh, new, and exciting. So, you know, on one side you get that, and then on the other it's like, well, this is going back to Ralph McQuarrie, and this is going back to the originals, and back to George's first day. So I don't, you know, I get so excited for the day I'm sitting in that chair crying, going, oh my God, it's happening.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's a good point. It will be different once we're sitting down in the theater. But I'll tell you, another quick nugget before we break out is Jedi News did follow up with all of this. And they did say that there's no, this is from their source again, that there's no dramatic change in direction from the script. And there's no new script being rewritten from scratch. So it's like they're not starting from scratch. But I get the feeling that if they're taking this step, it is a step to state that, hey, we're taking this in a not a different direction, but we need to make sure we've got this right, which is not bad at all. I'll take that. And you know what? I think that brings this week's episode of the Star Wars Report to a close. Tell you what, we want to thank our sponsor for this week's episode. It's Big Bad Toy Store. You can head over to StarWarsReport.com/toys to get yourself a great selection of all the latest Marvel, DC, Star Wars toys that you could possibly want. They've got vintage collection. They've got the Hasbro Black series. It's all over at Big Bad Toy Store. Again, to support this show and thank them for sponsoring us, head over to StarWarsReport.com/toys and do all of your Star Wars toy shopping at Big Bad Toy Store. We thank them for their support as always. Hey, if you want to contact us or if you want to be involved with the show at all, we don't want you to just listen. We want you to participate. You can always shoot us an email, StarWarsReport@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter. It's Twitter/StarWarsReport. Hey, we're Facebook/StarWarsReport. You'll find us there. And we always appreciate your iTunes reviews. Those really help spread the word about the show and let folks know what's going on with it, and that there's a great Star Wars Weekly podcast talking about all this awesome stuff now that we have new films coming. So we want more Star Wars fans coming into the Star Wars Report fold and discovering our whole family of podcasts. So it really helps to leave us a review at iTunes. It's super easy. Just go to StarWarsReport.com/iTunes, all lowercase, and that will link you straight to our iTunes page. And you can leave us a review and subscribe to the show. That's a great way to keep up to date, make sure you don't miss a single episode. And another great way to do that is to subscribe to our RSS feed, or just head over to StarWarsReport.com where you'll see the show notes for this episode. And that's how you do it. That's what you need to do. Call us, leave us a voicemail, hear your voice on the show. It's 858-859-0SWR. And the last way, hey, if you want a free audiobook and trial of Audible.com, head over to audibletrial.com/StarWarsReport. And get yourself a free audiobook. We also have them as a sponsor and thank them for their sponsorship of the show. That puts this episode in the books. If you want to hear more of my thoughts on the most recent Star Wars official, confirmed by StarWars.com news, head over again to StarWarsReport.com/Kasdan, and I got a blog post talking about this a little bit more in depth. But as I said there, if they have to take time and expense to rewrite all of this, it's okay. If they need to delay the release date, it's okay. If they need to take the expense to call the ghosts of Ralph McQuarrie and Irving Kirshner, it's okay with me. Remember, many Bothans died to bring you this podcast.
But that's okay, because we know how to seance them too.
I just turned up the volume, and they're the weirdest part of this song.
Like, you can just see a little Ewok DJ singing.
Exactly.
Yup, yup, Commander, come and grab a hammer. Let's go beat up the Imperial Slammer.
Yes! No prompting. I love it.
He was ready. He was all like,
I'm ready. He was all like HK-47. Ready. Remember that?
Statement. Indeed, sir.
I love HK-47.
That was a fun droid. No. Well, and he lasted quite a while. I mean, the last time he was in the EU was in, I believe it was Ruins of Dantooine.
Cool.
Or the game Galaxies at that point. Somehow he managed to live all the way up into the Rebellion era.